I'm so excited for today. You guys woke up. You're here on time. Just give yourself a round of applause for waking up this morning and being here on time. And it is not 10:03, it's 11:03, if you needed to know that. So I'm excited for today. We've been in this series, and you can stay up here with me for a little bit, Jared. We've been in this series that we've kind of called Jesus at the Table. And we've started table groups, and it's been so incredible. There's over 170 people in groups in our church, which is incredible because we are better in community, and we're better together. We were never created to walk with Jesus on an island alone. We're created to do it in the context of family. And church is not about being a corporation. It's about being a family. This is a family. And that's our heart. And so we want people to do that together. And when I was praying for you all last night, I had a message prepared early this week. And I was praying for you guys, but I've had this thought in my mind to talk to you guys about for a couple of weeks. And as I was praying, I just felt like, I felt the Holy Spirit say, Jonah, you need to talk about this today. And so I changed my message last night for y'all, okay? So, because I just believe that the Holy Spirit's on this. And so let's pray. Let's pray really quick before we get into this. And I want you guys just to put out your hands like this, like you're going to receive a gift today, because I believe Jesus has so much for everyone here. Spirit of God, we acknowledge your presence in this place. Lord, we acknowledge that we can't do anything apart from you, Lord. You said that in John 15:3, that apart from you, we can do nothing. But connected to you, we bear much fruit. And Lord Jesus, I pray today that the authority of your word would be anointed with the power of your spirit. And when your word and your spirit come together, transformation happens in hearts and lives get changed. And Lord, I pray today, not for a good word alone. Lord, I pray for ministry in hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would set people free. I pray for the ministry of deliverance that releases joy. And Lord, just like our students are getting set free, I pray for freedom in this room. I pray for healing in this room. And Lord, that you would get your full reward today, that you would get your glory today, and that you would touch us in a deep and mighty way. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. Jared, stay up here just a little bit. I feel today like the zeal of the Lord. Say zeal. Zeal. I feel the zeal of the Lord for people in this room today. And I feel this, and I'm just going to kind of jump in this way. I feel like the enemy has been working overtime in some people's lives in this room. I feel like the enemy, let me just say this. It's not okay to be a part-time Christian when there's a full-time devil. And we don't talk about the devil a lot in church because we don't want to scare people, but this is not a seeker-sensitive church. This is a spirit-sensitive church. And I'm not going to preach a message that tickles your ear but leaves you unchanged. It's terrible that we could come to church and not be transformed by the word that we hear. And that we can come to church and worship Jesus on a Sunday, but live like hell on Monday. That's not the Christian life. That's not the gospel. Jesus came to take dead people and raise them back to life. He came to set you free and give you something new. He came to deliver you from habitual sin. He came to set you free from the sickness that you don't know how to get free from. He came to set you free and give you life and life more abundantly. And I feel like there's people in this room. This is going to be more of a ministry day. Are you okay with that? I think I'm going to preach less today. And I think people, this is what I just believe. I believe that by the end of our time here today, that this altar is going to be full of people getting set free. Because we need it. We need it. We need the freedom that Jesus purchased for us. And church should be the place where you can come and get free. Church should not be the place where you leave feeling more bound or discouraged or what even was that? Like, have you ever come to church and you're just like, what even was that? And you're scratching your head and like, what even did the pastor talk about? That was the weirdest TED Talk message I've ever, I'm just saying from my experience. Okay, so maybe that's not you, but that's happened to me where you come, it's like, what was that? It's like, let it not be here, but let this be a place that is a house of prayer for all nations, where people get free, where people are changed and people are transformed. And we don't play church. You with me? We don't come under religion, but we get set free through a relationship with Jesus. And I'm just saying, he died for so much more than for you to have a good life. He shed blood for so much more for you than for you to just survive your way through life and wait for the weekend because you're so worn out. And I just feel this today. I just feel like weariness has tried to come over people. Can I just jump in today? I have no like intro for you. I'm just like, bam. I feel like Jesus, we're going to get there today. Jesus has got his whip out. You guys know this story? And he is on a mission and he's got fire in his eyes for you. Are you guys ready? We're just going to go there today. And so I'm going to share this story. And this story is found in all four Gospels: Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which Pastor Matthew, pretty rare, right? For a story to be in all four Gospels, I had to ask the theologian just to make sure. But for a story to be in all four Gospels, what that means is heaven's explanation point is on that. Did I say that right? It's heaven is highlighting that verse, this story, and it's saying, hey guys, pay attention to this story. And so we're going to read it in Matthew's version, and we're going to read it in John's version. And again, we're talking about Jesus at the table. But here's what I want to say, and shout out to Adam Hageman for sending me a meme that has actually made me think about this for 2 weeks. But here's what I want to say. The enemy has invited some of you in this room to sit at a table that Jesus is flipping. The enemy has invited you to sit at a table that Jesus is saying, not this table. And I want to show you what I mean here. Matthew chapter 21, verse 12. I promise this is the most encouraging Sunday of your life. Okay, it's like, is Jonah mad at me? No, I'm mad at the thing that's coming against you. And so is Jesus, even more so than me. Matthew 21, 12 through 14. Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. And he flipped or overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said to them, my house will be called a house of prayer, but you're making it a den of robbers. And the blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. I love this because a lot of us, when we think of Jesus, we think of this man who is so meek and mild, and Jesus is meek and mild in many ways, but right here, he ain't that. In this story, Jesus is, way stronger of a man than anyone in this room. And I think even for men, this has nothing to do with my message today, but sometimes for men, we think, how can I follow someone like that? Oh no, you want to follow someone like this. Someone is brave enough to actually come into can you imagine this with me? It would be like the Caldwell Farmers Market happening inside of a holy place. This is the setting. Boise Farmers Market inside of a holy place where the world comes to encounter God, and all of these distractions are there and all of these cattle are there. If cattle are there, how many know this is crazy? But they're pooping in a holy place. It's smelly, it's messy, it's noisy. Moo, it's like crazy. And Jesus, I imagine, dude, think of this. I mean, this is crazy. And after I read John, Jared, you can go back to your seat. But I think it's just so crazy that Jesus takes one look at what's happening and it irks him so bad that he's like, someone find me some leather rope. And can you imagine the disciples watching Jesus braid this huge whip? I'm like, dude, this thing made Jesus so upset that he made a whip, you guys. He made a whip. And so he drives them out. And when everybody is driven out, the house of prayer begins to happen. And the result of them being driven out is verse 14. The blind and the lame came to him at the temple and he healed them. He removed the distractions. House of prayer is established again. People are coming to Jesus and experiencing everything that he has to offer. I'm going to read one more. This is John 2. Same story, different account. John 2, 13 through 17 says this. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. And so he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered their coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here. Stop turning my father's house into a market." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Zeal for your house will consume me. Thank you, Jesus. And here's what I feel, you guys. This word zeal, when Jesus looks at what's happening in his temple, this word zeal means jealousy. Do you know that? Jealous passion for his father's house is consuming him because he's looking at the temple and there are opposing things in the temple keeping people from experiencing the fullness of God. That's what's happening. That's the scene. Jesus looks at this and he says, because you set up a market here, people can't encounter me. Because you've let these things in here, people can't encounter me. And I think it's interesting that Jesus looks at the people who were selling doves and he's saying, get out of here. Why? Because so many people in church today want to sell the Spirit of God. They want to sell the dove or get rid of the dove and set up something comfortable instead of actually having people coming and experiencing something supernatural. And so Jesus looks at these people who are selling the dove and he's like, get out of here. Why are you in my father's house? Why are you doing this? Thank you, Jared. Are you guys okay with how I'm preaching right now? But here's just the deal is God is not okay with his people remaining bound. He's not okay with his people remaining sick. He's not okay with people remaining beaten down and weary. And it's like, well, is he mad at me because I'm bound? Is he mad at me because I'm sick? No, no, no. He loves you, but he hates the thing that's tormenting you. You know, Jesus is crazy about you, but he has a zeal in his heart where he wants to drive out the things in our lives that aren't supposed to be there. And so I want to read a couple verses. I'm just going to go through this quick because I just think we're going to have a freedom day today. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 through 17 in the NIV. We're talking about the temple and Jesus flipping tables there. This is what Paul says about the temple. He says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person." Is this Old Testament? No, this is New Testament. And he look at this. He says, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred, and you together are the temple. Okay, so let me just say this first. When I first heard this verse, I always thought that the temple in this passage was talking about me individually. Anybody ever think that way? Where it's, okay, the temple in this passage, he's talking about, don't destroy the physical temple. That's not what Paul said here. If you read this verse in context, he's saying this, all y'all, when you come together and two or three are gathered, the Spirit of God is in your midst, and we are the temple. Say, we are the temple. Yeah, that's right. We are the temple. You and I are the temple. And when we come together, something supernatural always happens, and it's the Spirit of God being in our midst. And Jesus, and Paul in this passage is saying, no one can come into the temple and destroy this gathering. And if they come and try and destroy this, or come against this meeting of together in the presence of God, I will destroy that person. That is the zeal of the Lord and the love for his church. Come on, you got to hear this today. Jesus is a bridegroom who is marrying a bride called the church. Jesus loves his church. Jesus loves when you and I come together at a table, when we come together on a Sunday, when we come together for a table group, when we come together and play basketball, when two or three are together in his name, his Spirit is there in his midst. And Jesus is saying, nobody comes in this place and tries to separate what I've put together here. Are you following me? This is Jesus. This is not my opinion. This is the Bible. Jesus is so bad. What does that mean practically, Pastor Jonah? It means this. If you have unforgiveness in your heart towards someone in this place, you need to make that right. If you are trying to come, and I am not subtweeting somebody today. You ever heard that? Or you guys even know what subtweeting means? Someone's like, I don't even know what that means. But it's I'm not preaching to somebody because I've heard something. Have you ever felt that way? It's like, he's totally preaching at me today. He heard that about me. I promise you, I'm just preaching what I feel like the Holy Spirit told me to preach. And here's the reality. I've been in church enough to know that people in church can have quarrels against each other. And people can go like, I'm sitting over there because that person's sitting over there. Well, in heaven, that doesn't make sense. Like, that doesn't make sense. For us to even have that when we come and we gather together, his Spirit's here and we're carrying offense in our heart towards somebody? Come on, somebody. I'm not mad at anybody. If cameras, I don't even know how you caught me there. I just ran so fast. But I'm like, bless you if you're watching online. And in your home, be blessed. But it's like, no, we can't afford to do that. Why? Because when we come in this room, we mirror heaven. In John 17, Jesus says that our love for one another shows the world that we belong to Jesus. And so when we come together in this place, we are actually hosting the Spirit of God together, and we are a dwelling place for the presence of God. But it increases when we're in unity with each other. Not disunity. Not disunity, but in unity, God what? Commands a blessing, the Bible says. And the Bible says how lovely and beautiful it is when brothers dwell together in unity. It's like the oil, the anointing oil, coming down Aaron's beard, and the presence of God blesses that unity. Come on, that's why church is so amazing. That's why coming to church on time, I'm just going to say it. That's why coming to church on time and actually fellowshipping with people is important. That's why it's not like I'm just going to come here and I'm not going to engage with the people. No, when you come to church, it's actually meaning I want to be a part of this church family. It does not mean that you're coming here and going like, I'm just going to check this place out, and then I'm going to go to that place next week, and that place next week, and that place. You have no fellowship with anybody that way. You have no fellowship with anybody that way. You only grow where your roots go down. You only can grow where you're planted. Those who plant themselves in the house of the Lord will flourish like what? The palm tree. They'll flourish like the cedars of Lebanon, which means this. Have you ever seen a palm tree in a storm? Palm tree in a storm? Come on, we're going to Palm Desert this week, or not this week, but in a month. And I'm like, they have palm trees there. When winds blow, palm trees are like this. They're flying all over the place. I'm like, that back is arched a little bit too much. You know, it's like they're flinging everywhere. They're flying everywhere. But they're flexible because they're planted. And the Bible says this. He says, when you're planted, you'll be like a palm tree, which means this. When the wind blows, when the storms come, and they will come, because you're planted in a house, you will flourish even in the midst of a storm. Because you have fellowship and you're in community with the church. Not like, well, I just go to church because I like the preaching. I go to that church because I like the worship. That's all great and everything. That's awesome. But it's the people that make church. It's the people. It's family. It's going like, I can't imagine being apart from these people. Even if we came and it's like the sound system was turned off the whole time. You wouldn't care because you're with who? Your people. And if you're called to those people, you will flourish no matter what happens. Are you with me? And so the Bible says, the Lord is like, do not put your hands on my church. Do not touch this temple. If you touch the gathering, I'll destroy you. That's what Jesus is saying. That's hardcore. That's not Old Testament. That's New Testament. But we skip that because we're like, oh, I want my Jesus to be nice. You can't change the Bible. You're not God. Well, I'm going to skip over that verse because I want the Bible to affirm my lifestyle. Progressive Christianity. Well, the Bible's outdated, and we're in a new era, and we're in a new time, and I can have woke ideology while still being a Christian. No, you can't. There's nothing, listen to me, there's nothing that comes before Christian. There's no such thing as a woke Christian. There's no such thing as I'm a this Christian. No. You don't put anything before Christ. If you put something before Christ, you've made an idol. And you really actually have not made Jesus Lord because you want your own culture and ideology to be affirmed. And if you can't read the Bible and let the Bible change your heart because you want to skip things because, well, I want to hold on to that thing. Ah, oh, come on, somebody. That means you love that thing so much that you want to hold on to the thing that's keeping you bound. When Jesus wants to set you free, oh, but that verse is offensive. Let it offend you. Let it offend you. Because Jesus has called us to be holy as he is holy. He's called us to be set apart. And it's so sad that I could preach a message to you today to make you feel good but keep you bound. And that was me for so many years growing up in the church, having hidden sin in my life, holding on to things because all I ever heard were messages that made me feel good, but not messages that cut my heart. And not messages that actually exposed these things that I wanted to hold on to because they were my comforts. Well, I can worship Jesus and go back to this comfort, this habitual sin that I'm so afraid to expose that kept me bound for years and years and years and years. Expose it. Expose it. Zeal for you has consumed the Lord. I want to read this next verse. I'm going a little. Are you guys okay? Listen to this. This is 1 Corinthians 6:19. So same book, 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. Here's another do you not know, okay? Do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God, and you are not your own? You were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. So check this out. 1 Corinthians 3 says that all y'all are the temple. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says you individually are also a temple. So we are a room of temples inside of a temple. Think about how weird that it's like there's all of these mini houses inside of one big house. And check this out. We're in like a Holy Spirit Twinkie. I'm serious. It's kind of crazy. It's like how you can't escape from the Holy Spirit now. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, that means the Holy Spirit's in you, in you, in you, in you, in you, in you, in you. The Holy Spirit's all over this room, inside of people, and then he's also in this room hovering over the people. And so we're in a Holy Spirit sandwich. We're in a Holy Spirit Twinkie. I know it sounds funny. It's like it's the goodness inside and on the outside, okay? But the Holy Spirit's everywhere because we're in a room full of Holy Spirit temples. And this is also a temple. Are you following me? And so here's the deal. So many people want the Spirit, but they don't want the Holy. So many charismatic Christians want the Spirit, but they forsake the first name of the Holy Spirit. They're like, I just want the Spirit, but I don't want the Holy. You can't just have the Spirit without the Holy. His name is Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit has no rivals. The Holy Spirit cannot mix with other spirits. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. Do you know that's what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3? It says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Why? Because the only Spirit that's there is the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? And so wherever the Holy Spirit is, one of his primary roles in your life is to shake you and set you free. It's to expose and get anything out of your life that's not supposed to be there because he is a jealous God. Okay, so I want to show you this. We got a lot of scripture to run through, and then we're going to just let the Holy Spirit move. Okay, James chapter 4. This is going to be a hard one to hear, but we're just going to do it. All right. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your own pleasures. Some of you are wondering, why is God not answering my prayer? That's one of the reasons. It's because you're praying for your own pleasures to be met instead of actually following the will of God. So next one, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he caused to dwell in us? Stop right there. Go up, can you go put that on the screen? Do you guys see that that's a lowercase s? That is not a capital S. If it was a capital S, it would mean that Jesus jealously longs for his Spirit that he caused to dwell in you. But the thing is, Jesus can't jealously long for something he already has. Are you following me? So what it means here is Jesus jealously longs for you, your spirit, your heart, the thing that he put inside of you, the true you, because this is a little bit, theological for some of you, but you are a spirit with a soul living in a body. And the true you is the spirit inside of that body. The body is not the real you. The spirit inside of you is, and the spirit that's inside of you is eternal. And if we are connected with the Lord, you will be in heaven with Jesus forever in the spirit. And you'll put on a new body that will never corrupt, which is amazing. Thank God for a new body that will never get sick, ever experience corruption and decay. But the Bible is saying that Jesus is jealous for what he put inside of you. Oh, come on, we're going to get there. It'll be okay. I know. Just keep following me. So verse 6, but he gives us more grace. Thank God for grace. Who's thankful for the grace of God? That is why scripture says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you want to know what resisting the devil looks like? Just submit to God. Fully give yourself to God. Some of us are trying to resist the devil in our own strength, and we forget submitting to God. All you have to do is submit to God. And he says, come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. What is James saying, and why is this just not sound encouraging at all? Here's what James is saying. James is saying, if you don't realize you're broken, you need to realize it. If you're not broken, actually, let me say it this way. If you are not broken about the sin in your life, let God break you about it. Is that right? Don't get comfortable with the thing that's trying to kill you. It'd be weird if some of us in this room started petting a huge boa constrictor and playing with the snake. You want to hear a crazy story? I'm going to tell you a crazy story. You guys are quiet today. He's like, he is mad at me. I'm not mad at anybody. I interned for a guy named Chris Overstreet at Bethel Church. And in third year, Chris Overstreet preached a message on the fear of the Lord. And when I was in third year. And he preached this message at Bethel. Actually, it was in second year when this happened. And Chris Overstreet had a dream years and years and years ago of teenagers playing with a snake. And in this dream, these teenagers are playing with a snake. And the snake in this dream begin to come around their necks. And they're like, oh, it's such a cute snake. Isn't it such a cute snake? And these teenagers end up getting choked out by this snake that they're playing with in this dream. And in the dream, they end up dying. And he was like, why were you guys playing with a snake? You know? And so in third year, when Chris was preaching to second year, he was telling this story. This is crazy, and this might make your guys' mind go wild. But he's telling this story, and so much freedom happened that day. And we're walking out of the Bethel sanctuary. Who's ever been to Bethel before? We're walking out of the sanctuary at Bethel, and this revival group pastor comes up to me and in our team, and he says, you guys, the craziest thing happened when Chris was preaching about snakes. A snake slithered into the sanctuary while he was preaching about it, and we crushed the snake's head when Chris was preaching. We stomped on the snake. And I was like, is that normal? And they're like, we've never, ever had a snake slither into the sanctuary before. Ever. Ever. And it was like the Lord was confirming in Chris's message, stop playing with something that has not your best interest in mind. Are you with me? Don't get comfortable with what's killing you. Because what you're comfortable with, if you're comfortable with sin, you'll end up a casualty. Let me say it this way. If you deal with sin casually, you'll end up a casualty. If you handle it where it's casual, you'll end up a casualty. Let me just read this, because let's bring it back to Jesus, okay? Exodus 34:14 in the NIV says this, do not worship any other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. Come on. His name is jealous. And how many of you ever had moms where they're like, you had a mom who raised you right and it's like, don't be jealous about anything. Anybody raised that way? No, it's not good to be jealous, which I totally agree with, okay? Jesus, though, the Father, his name is jealous. What is he jealous about? What's he jealous about? He's jealous about you. He's jealous about any God or anything coming in between you and your relationship with him. And I want to read Deuteronomy. This is the last verse. I promise this is the last one. Deuteronomy 4:24 says, "For the Lord your God is a consuming what? Fire. He's a consuming fire, a jealous God." Which means this: he is out to consume what's trying to consume you. He wants to come with the fire of purification and burn away. Remember when I told the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They're in the fire. They didn't burn, but what was binding them burned in the fire. Do you remember that? They come out. Their ropes came off. They're dancing. Remember? They're doing some crazy dance in there. Here's the reality. When the fire of God touches your life, it's set out to burn everything that's killing you, not you. It comes to set you free so that you can truly be free and not hold on to this bag of stuff that you've been holding on to for so long. We so oftentimes want to make excuses for these things that we're holding on to, and it's so easy for us just to give it to the Lord, but the enemy puts shame on us so that we sit back and stay bound. Come on, and he's out today. I feel it. He's got the whip. He's coming into the sanctuary, coming into the temple, and he's flipping the tables that we are sitting at with the devil. He's saying, no more sitting at this table, and I'm exposing what's underneath this table. I'm flipping it. I'm exposing it. Oh, there's some gross gum under that table. Let's clean that off. You know what I mean? Like, he's out to set people free. Zeal for his house. What's that mean? Zeal for this house, this gathering, but zeal in his heart for that temple. You gotta understand that Jesus is so red hot in love with you, he hates the things that hate you. He's so madly in love with you. He's not mad at you, he's madly in love with you. But he's so done with us staying bound when we can get free by his blood and by his spirit. And it doesn't have to be a 10-week program. Doesn't have to be a 10-step program. Jesus set people free with the word. He delivered people with the word. And one drop of his blood is more powerful than a lifetime of sin. And all we have to do is come to him and receive that. Not be afraid. Because humanity proved from the beginning that when we turn our back on God and we choose to obey another lover, humanity always does this. We go and hide for the God who's looking for us. We hide from him. Are you with me? Are you guys okay? This is not shame on you. This is all about shame off of you. You know that joy that we were singing about today? The only way to actually not fake that joy anymore is for there to be no other things in your heart. Because oftentimes we hold on to these other lovers and these other idols, and the fear of the Lord is not to love evil, it's to hate evil, Proverbs 8 says. It's to hate it. And for so long in my life, I've held on to things, and I've kept it hidden in the dark, and I was so bound for so many years because I was afraid of even exposing the thing. And I could have got free so much earlier if I would have just gone, boom, here it is, I'm done. Take it all. Take my whole life. Consume my whole life. I don't want anything in my heart that's keeping me from you, Jesus. I don't want this pornography. I don't want that. I don't want the alcohol. I don't want the drugs. I don't want this thing anymore because it's keeping me from fullness. Ah, come on. And here, this is why I'm preaching this today. Here's our story this week. This week, I'm doing dishes. which I love to do, actually. I used to not like it, but now I really love it. And I'm doing dishes like Brother Lawrence, just in my kitchen. And I'm doing these dishes, and I'm listening to a podcast from two people that I just love. I want to be like them, Jonathan David and Melissa Helser. Okay, so I'm listening to this podcast, and I start to tune them out, and I'm like, man, they're awesome, but I really want to hear from you, Lord, as I'm doing dishes. How many know that Jesus can encounter you when you're doing dishes? Okay, so I'm doing dishes. I want to hear from you. These people are awesome, but what do you say? And I'm just going to tell you what the Lord said to me. And then you guys can, whatever, just, this is what God told me, okay? I'm doing dishes, and the Lord says this to me. He says, you don't think I'm really that good of a father, do you? How many know that a father can talk to sons like that? Okay? He was like, you don't think that I'm that good of a father? And I was like, yes, I do. What are you talking about? I totally think you're good. I totally think you're good. And he says, no, you think I'm good in other people's lives, but you don't think I'm good in yours. And you think I answer other people's prayers, and you think I'm showering favor on other people, but really, you're just operating in a sin called covetousness, and you need to renounce that sin and come to me and be clean, because what I'm giving you is amazing, but because you're looking at everybody else and how I'm blessing them, you think I'm not blessing you. Anybody ever been there? And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, Lord, you just read my mail, okay? Like, that hurt. And then he revealed something to my wife and I that night. And we've been feeling this thing, and I feel like Jesus is going to set people free from this today. We've been feeling this thing come over us called weariness. Has anybody ever felt weary and tired? What's interesting about weariness is if the enemy cannot get you to sin, oftentimes he'll just throw fatigue your way. Amen. And he'll start to wear you out. And he'll start to make you feel tired. And then you'll start complaining. And then you'll start to get bitter. And then you'll want to run and escape even the call of God on your life. And you'll want to run away from these things, and you'll want just vacation. But Jesus is not calling some of us to retire. He's calling some of us to refire. And while we just want an easy and comfortable and chill life because serving God feels too hard, because you're tired and worn out. Let me just say this. Sometimes you do need to take a nap and eat better food. Sometimes you're eating way too much McDonald's, and you need to start eating home-cooked meals. And stop cooking with seed oils and cook with tallow instead. Okay? Sometimes that's what you need. Sometimes you need to eat organ meat and be dope about that. And stop drinking soda and high-processed foods, sugars, and all these things. And eat Jenna Hildebrandt's sourdough bread. Okay? Sometimes you need to do that and get processed food out of your life. Sometimes you do need to rest more. Some of you need to learn how to Sabbath. That is a real thing. Did you know that not resting one day a week is a sin? That's Bible. That's not me, okay? That's just the Bible. Don't get mad at me. So yes, rest is important, and God always blesses rest. But I felt a weariness that was more deep in my bones, that was beyond me not resting. And I'm looking, I'm like, I am sleeping. I am doing Sabbath. I am eating right. What's going on with me? And I started to have these thoughts in my mind that moved on the line of demonic. I started to have these thoughts in my mind that was like, this is demonic. This is against me. There's something trying to oppose me. And my wife was having these dreams where she would have these dreams at night where the door of our home wasn't locked. It was open. And it was like, man, there's this open door. There's this open door where the enemy's trying to creep in. And the Lord's like, you need to lock your door. And here's what the enemy does. Anybody know the verse where it says this? It says that we're pulling down strongholds. Do you guys know that verse? Vain imaginations that exalt themselves above the obedience of Christ Jesus. You want to know what the enemy does? The enemy gives you a brick, which is a lie. and a false belief about you or about God. And he says, start building me a house. Here's another lie. Here's another lie about you, about me, about the people in your life. And the more bricks that you start to take, you begin to build a strong tower or a safe place, or the Bible calls a stronghold, for the enemy to live in instead of God. Here's the deal. Demonic oppression doesn't just happen. It's not like catching a cold. Someone doesn't sneeze on you and you get a demon. That's not how that works. Okay? It's like, I just got slimed. It's like, no, it's not how that works. The enemy hands you a lie and another lie. Why? Because what's his name? The father of lies. The Bible says that he's been a liar. Jesus said this, a liar and a murderer and a thief from the beginning. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy from you. And so all he does is he says, take another brick. Why? Because he wants a house just like God. Come on, somebody. The enemy wants to be like God. That's always what he's wanted. And so he says, erect me a dwelling place in your mind that I can dwell in. And the moment that that thing is full blown and all you are in your mind is believing lies, he goes, I can step into that house. Okay, it's going to get good, okay? Promise. You're like, this is too intense for me. On a spring forward Sunday morning, on Alexis's birthday, this is too much, okay? We have to talk about this stuff. We have to. You guys know the verse that says the little foxes spoil the vine? I just heard recently from a farmer, and from the story of a farmer who said this. He says, you know why it's called the little foxes? Because you can catch a little fox when they're young. But if you don't catch him when he's little, when he grows big, you can't catch them anymore. Here's another biblical parallel of that. How many know in the beginning of the word, at the beginning of Genesis, the enemy came and deceived Eve as what? Serpent. You guys went to Susie's children's class. You get a gold star. Okay? In Genesis, the enemy comes in as a serpent and he deceives Eve. And I don't have it up there for you, but I promise it's in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, when we look at the enemy when he's defeated, this is what it says in the book of Revelation. This is the dragon? This is the one who's deceived the nations and kings? We made him to be a dragon. But in the beginning, the devil was a serpent. But in the end, we've made him to be a dragon. In the end of Scripture, this one who slithered on the ground all the days of his life, the Lord says, you will slither on the ground. You'll eat the dust of the earth. That's the curse of that serpent. This is what happens. We have made him bigger than he is. Because we didn't grab the serpent when he was lying to us in the beginning and say, shut up, serpent. Shut your mouth. I know exactly what the Lord said to me. Instead, we go, oh, that sounds great. And that serpent, now we begin to worship his lies, and he becomes a dragon in our life because we didn't stop him when he was lying to us in the beginning. And so to you, listen to me. To you, me saying, I felt weary. You go like, that's a small thing, Jonah. Just take a nap. No. You don't understand. If he makes me tired, he can make me a lot more things. If he puts weariness on me, and then he says, you know what? To fulfill this feeling of being tired, you should do this. That's how he talks to me. He's like, bah. I'm like, bah! Get out of here. He's like, you should feel this comfort. You should run away. You should, yeah. I'm like, you're gross. I don't want that. Because I fear what I'll become. I fear the Lord too much to step over the line of that thing. And I wasn't created to be weary when I have a God who is never weary and never slumbers or sleeps. And he lives inside of me, and the same power that rose Jesus from the grave is living inside of this mortal body. And in my Christian life, I'm not going to settle for anything less than what Jesus paid for. Come on, this is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of freedom. But it stinks that people don't talk like this because we just remain bound, and it's crazy. Oh, come on. It's just crazy that Jesus paid such a high price because he has zeal for you, and we just go, I just want comfortable Christianity, and all I want to do is come to church and be served. Serve me, my needs, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no! Are you with me? And I'm preaching to myself this morning. If you're like, Jonah is so mad at me, I'm like, no, I am preaching to myself. I'm saying to that lying spirit, get out of my life. Get out of my life. I'm not pulling up a seat at the enemy's table. I'm not pulling up a chair at the enemy's table and living a mediocre life when Jesus promised me life and life more abundantly. And if he shed blood for my freedom, I am going to grab a hold of that freedom. I'm going to get healed of past trauma. I'll go to breakthrough ministry. Sure, I'll go to counseling. I love all of that stuff. But I'm going to believe the finished work of the cross because it's truth that sets me free. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it and walk in it. And if I wake up in the morning and I feel like, oh, I feel this way, my feelings are not in charge. I'm not going to live by what I feel. I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to live by what I see. I'm going to live by faith. I'm not going to get discouraged by what's in my bank account. I'm not going to get discouraged by how I feel. Why? Because I'm a son of God and I'm royalty and I'm seated in heavenly places with Jesus. But it's time to lay down these things that are holding us back. And I'm not going to manipulate this at all. I don't want to manipulate you to respond to this message. But I know for me, I had to respond this week. And my wife and I, we sat down and we were like, we're exposing the devil right now. I felt like I was exposing a drug cartel leader. I'm serious. I was like, we literally just figured this thing out. This is the devil. You know, that's good news because it's not you. Woo! I was like, wait a second. This weariness thing is not me. And this has been the devil the whole time. Woohoo! Kick that thing out. That's easy. That's easy. Come on. And so I want everybody to stand to your feet. Come on. He's jealous for you. He's jealous for you. You were made for so much more. I was made for so much more. And he wants to do that today. And I felt when I was praying yesterday and I feel today, I feel the spirit of deliverance in the room. I feel the spirit of freedom in the room. And that doesn't have to look any certain way. I'm not going to manipulate it anyway. But if I could have our prayer team come forward, if I could have our prayer team, whoever's on our prayer team, I want you guys to come forward. And I want you guys just to close your eyes right now. Everyone here, just close your eyes. And I want you to do what I was doing when I was washing those dishes. I want you to ask the Lord, Lord, in your heart, ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything that is holding me back from experiencing the fullness of who you are? Is there anything that your zeal is against in my life? Is there anything? And just let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Say, Holy Spirit, I'm listening. Reveal it to me. He does not reveal it in shame. He reveals it because he wants the best for your life. That's why he reveals it. And so, Lord, all over this room, I just pray that you would speak to every person here, that you would reveal it. And, Lord, I pray that just like our students getting free in VHSM, I pray that freedom would explode in this place today. Freedom would hit hearts. And when you feel like you know what that thing is, this is the moment to repent. This is the moment to turn from it, to say, I don't want this anymore. I want to be free from this. I want to live a whole and holy life. I don't want weariness to dominate me. I don't want this habitual sin to dominate me. And even for some of you, it's sickness in your body that Jesus wants to heal today that's been pulling you down. And I believe Jesus will heal it. But we've got to respond. And so if you're here today and you know what that is. It could be sickness in your body. It could be a burden that you're carrying that feels so heavy. For some of you, it is that. I feel like there's some people in here, the burden that you're carrying is so heavy, and Jesus wants to carry that burden for you. And so if you're here, I just want all over this room, just raise your hand if that's you, and you're like, I've every eye closed, just raise your hand. You've got something that the Lord is revealing to you, and you're like, I've got to get this out. I've got to get this exposed. I've got to bring this to the heart of the Father. I've got to bring this to the Lord. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Yep. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. His love for you is so great. His love for you is so, so great. And so here's what I want to do. Physical obedience oftentimes brings a spiritual release. And so if you're here and your hand is raised, and if you feel comfortable and you're like, I just want to come up to the front and receive prayer, I want you just to make your way up right now. Just make your way up. If that's you, you're like, I want to receive prayer today. I want that freedom. I want that freedom. Spiritual obedience brings about physical obedience brings spiritual release. So Lord, I just thank you right now. Yeah, just let the Lord speak to you. Let him speak to you. Come on, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. But here's what's going to happen. Just keep making your way up. Just keep making your way up, guys. Come on, if the Lord didn't reveal this to me a couple days ago, I'd be responding to this altar call. So if you're like, I just told you, I responded to an altar call in my living room this week. So the pastors of this church, it's like, we need Jesus too. We are people too. There's no shame in responding. So just keep coming up, keep coming up. Thank you, Lord. And here's what we're gonna do. If you're on our prayer team, here's what we're gonna do. If you're on our prayer team, I want you guys, I'm gonna pray, but I want you guys to gently just lay hands on the shoulders of people up front. Because there is so many people, we're just gonna gently lay hands and we're gonna just pray for these things to go. And it could be quick where it's like, man, if you feel like the Holy Spirit's giving you something, like a word of knowledge, release it. Or if you feel like interacting with someone and asking them whatever it is that's holding them back, go for it and do it. You have full permission to do that. But I want you guys to look at me if you're up here. If you're up here, just look at me. There is no shame for whatever you're up here with. But here's what's happened today. The zeal of the Lord for your spirit and for your heart to be completely free is like, let's flip tables together today. Yes. The Lord's like, hey, you know that table that the enemy's tried to sit at with you? Do you want to just flip that thing with me today? And I see the Lord putting a whip in your hand, and he said, let's do this together. Let's do this together. Let's expose the devil together, and let's get free together, because it's for freedom that Christ sets us free. And so I just see the Lord. He's like, you want to flip tables with me? Who wants to flip some tables today? Who wants to flip some tables? I wish we had a table to just flip or just jump on and crack, you know. But we're going to flip some tables today. And so just keep your eyes closed all over this room. And I want every voice just to say this. Even if you didn't respond, we're gonna start by saying this. Just say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent. Which means I turn from the thing that's been holding me from you. Set me free. Zeal for me, for this temple has consumed you, and you love me. You love me, and you want to set me free. Your plans for me are good. So I receive your freedom today. In Jesus' name. Come on, I'm just going to pray for you now, and our prayer team's just going to walk through and pray. But Lord, all over this room, Lord, whether it's people in the front or all the way in the back, Lord Jesus, for every person who's responded to this call, Lord, I pray freedom in the name of Jesus. I pray for freedom, and Lord, I thank you that your blood was shed to set us free. Come on. And I just feel like even for people, if you're watching this and it's spectating, you're like, this is weird. No, staying bound is weird. And we have got to be a church that goes after the fullness of God. And so, Lord, all over this room, I thank you for freedom, 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 freedom. And Lord, as a pastor in this church, I just take authority over what the enemy has been trying to steal, over what the enemy has been trying to kill, over what the enemy has been trying to destroy. And I just declare, get your hands off of your people, devil. Get your hands off of your people. And Lord, we mean business today. Just like you, Jesus, I see you with the whip in your hand. I see you flipping tables today. I see you setting hearts free today. And even for people who have done a work, I thank you for a complete work in the name of Jesus. We just declare, come on, I'm gonna pray like I'm a youth pastor right now. I'm gonna pray like I'm a youth pastor. And so this is how I'm gonna pray. Come on, I just declare to depression and the spirit of heaviness, bye-bye in Jesus' name. Your assignment over your people is over today. Come on, I take authority over anxiety in the name of Jesus. Come on, there's people in this room that you take medication for mental health issues. And I believe that Jesus is gonna set you free today. I believe Jesus is gonna set you free. And so Lord, I just declare to every mind, every bit of trauma, every bit of disturbance, to anxiety, get off of your people. Come on, I'm going to be really vulnerable this week. The enemy, in my weary moment, he put thoughts of death in my head. And I was praying yesterday, and I feel like the Lord was like, that's not for you, Jonah. That's for someone in this room. And so, Lord, I just declare to the spirit of death and suicide, get off of your people. Leave in the name of Jesus. I declare to suicidal ideation and suicidal thoughts, be gone. Lift, 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 lift. Come on, just fix your eyes on Jesus with me. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Come on, this is okay. Come on, in the Bible, Jesus casted out demons. In the Bible, Jesus casted out demons. He wants people to be free. He wants people to be free. And so, Lord, we just declare, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. Be set free right now.